Very excited about preaching this morning. Amen. Hadn't preached in over a week. Had some good witnessing opportunities and things along those lines, but haven't got to preach, and I kind of like to preach. Amen. So Genesis chapter number 30, if you're a preacher, you like to preach. Amen. I'm still not to where, you know, some of the preachers, I'm just being honest, some preachers go to preachers' meeting, and I think I know a little bit where they're at times, but they're like, oh, don't, you don't have to call on me to preach, I just want to be fed. And I'm like, man, call on me to preach, amen. I want to preach, amen, that's what I do, amen. All right, it's kind of like a race car driver saying, I want to go to the race, but I really don't want to race, amen. Man, why are you doing something you don't love to do, amen. Anyhow, Genesis chapter number 37 this morning. We are obviously not in the book of Acts for this morning. I'm pretty excited about the message, and I pray that the Lord will use it in hearts and lives. I don't know where each individual is here this morning. I know where I am and how this message applied to my heart and life, and so I want to preach it this morning and hope that God will bring application into your life this morning. Genesis chapter 37, I don't want to read the whole chapter to save you time and to make it where I don't have to talk quite so fast, but we do want to go from verses 19 down to verse 35 this morning. And trusting that most of you are familiar with the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. And so we'll pick up in verse 19. The Bible said, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is, notice the wording here, without doubt, rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. That's where some Christians are this morning. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would take this message and, Lord, anoint the messenger and allow us to preach these truths that you've showed us. And I pray that you would help every individual to make application to his or her heart. I pray that thy spirit, Lord, would make it clear. There are some people, Lord, no doubt in my mind that probably don't need this message this morning. There are folks here that need this message this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would work and move in every heart and life. For those that may not need it immediately, there will be a time, I'm convinced, they will need this message. And I pray, Lord, you'd help them to store it in their memory bank of their mind, so when that time comes, they'll remember it and latch on to these truths from God's word and help them through those hard times. And so for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Joseph is one of the most eventful and exciting stories in the Bible. A study of the life of Joseph has yielded the fruit of encouragement to many that's grown weary in well-doing. Lester Olof, one of my favorite preachers, preached out of this passage, and he preached on you can't keep a good man down. Amen. And I know that's the title of a popular country song, but it was here in Genesis 37 first. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, Joseph went down into the pit. He went down into Egypt. He went down into the dungeon, but you can't keep a good man down. Amen. And Joseph's one of two men in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ, the third man. He's one of two men in the Bible that there's not a flaw mentioned about his character. There is not a blemish recorded. And in that, he becomes a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man loved by his father, a man despised and rejected by his brethren. And boy, there's so many things there that he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ with. But I don't want to preach on Joseph as much this morning as I want to preach on Jacob. The title I'm using for the message, When You're Is Not, is, that may sound confusing, you'll get it, I think, by the end of the message. I'm borrowing actually a title that Reggie Kelly preached when he was here several years ago. I'm not taking his message, but I am taking his title when he preached out of the same passage, and he focused on something a little different than what we're focusing on this morning. And again, as I preach, I've got an illustration I'm going to use as I preach. I don't know where I saw this illustration, but years ago I saw this illustration that I'm going to give this morning. Nothing that I have is original, I can promise you that. Amen. I heard it or saw it somewhere, and most of it comes from the Bible, and the illustrations come from other preachers. Amen. All right. And so just so you know that, and don't walk out saying, man, that's a wonderful illustration. Man, we got a wonderful pastor. Your pastor copied it from somebody. Amen. All right. I'm a good plagiarist when it comes to this kind of stuff. Amen. All right. So anyhow, but I want to look at Jacob. I do want to look at Joseph as he relates to Jacob. I want to look at the coat of many colors. And so we're going to just jump right into the message this morning. And the first point I want to look at, if you're taking notes, is Jacob's beloved child. Jacob's beloved child. As we look at his child Joseph, if you turn back to verse 3 of chapter 37, the Bible says in verse number 3, now Israel, that's another name for Jacob, he loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. We find that, and I'm going to get my first illustration out here. This is not a coat of many colors, all right? But just pretend this morning for the sake of illustration that this is a coat of many colors, all right? How many colors do you see there? Many. Man, thank you, brother. Amen. We are into the message now. Very good. There's many colors there. And so as you look at this coat of many colors, Jacob had this son, the Bible said, of his old age. He delighted it, and this is my first subpoint, his delight in Joseph. He delighted in his son. He looked at his son, and in his son, we will see through the passage, the embodiment of his dreams. We will find that that God made Isaac the embodiment of Abraham's dreams, and God made Jacob the embodiment of Isaac's dreams, and now out of his 12 children, Joseph is the one that embodies his father's dreams the most. And so he loved his son, the Bible said, more than all of his other sons, and he took the time to make him a coat of many colors. And so there's Jacob. We can find Jacob. There he is putting that coat together and dyeing that coat and putting time into that coat. He's putting effort into that coat. He's putting his labor, which is a labor of love for his son, as his son is the embodiment of his dreams. And for the purpose of this message, Joseph will represent to you and I the promises that God has given to us specifically in his word. Promises, dreams, goals that God has given you from his word and that you have put your time into, that you are putting your energy into, that you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears into. It represents your labor of love. This is what you're doing for the promise that God has given you. See, every one of you this morning got a purpose. Are you with me? All of us have a purpose, and then we find our purpose and we begin to build our lives around that purpose. We begin to make our coat around that purpose that God has for us, and we wrap our time and our labor and our energy and our blood, sweat, and tears, our love into that coat. Amen. And that's what we find Jacob doing. He's the delight of his father. And then we see that not only is he the delight of his father, and many times you'll find this as a child of God who has a promise from God. Listen, he was despised by his brethren. The one the father delighted in was despised by, they hated him because they said, we can see our father loves him more than he loves us. They hated him for it. And then we find not only was he despised, but in fact, we'll see that later in the text where we started our text reading this morning. They said, behold, this dreamer cometh. They wasn't sitting there with starry eyes looking at him saying, behold, a visionary is coming to meet us this morning. They were saying, behold, that dreamer cometh. They hated him. The Bible said they couldn't speak peaceably to him. So they already hated him. Because his father had shown him more love, more labor, more time and attention than them. So they hated him. They despised him. And now Joseph comes to the breakfast table one morning and says, he's eating his cereal and says, I have a dream. I had a dream last night. My sheaf was out in the field with all y'all's sheaves, and all y'all's sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. And they knew what he was saying. And they didn't like what he was saying. They said, oh, no way. Uh-uh, Joe, we're not bowing down to you. That's not going to happen. And so now, and by the way, I want to say this. You better listen to me. I'm telling you, better listen closely. There are times that God will give you a dream. And I'm telling you, when you begin to voice that dream that God's given you, other people will think you're being proud. People will call you arrogant because you're voicing a dream that God's given you. Joseph couldn't help that God gave him the dream. He was excited about his dream. I'm telling you, sometimes God will give you a dream and you'll start to tell the brethren, and I'm telling you, they'll hate you for your dreams. Amen. Let them hate you. It's your dream, not theirs. Just keep on dreaming. Amen. And that's exactly what Joseph did. He kept on dreaming. And the Bible says in verse number 8, in verse 5, they hated him yet the more. And then in verse number 8, he had another dream. Verse number 9, it said, and he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And told his father and to his brethren. Here comes another breakfast. And he's sitting there saying, man, you guys know what I dreamed about last night? Last night, I didn't just dream about the sheaves. I dreamed that you were the sun, mom's the moon, and you're the 11 stars, and y'all bowed down to me. And his father, said, shall I? And mother bowed. You know, but he observed the important this man. Jacob observed from God's word, I'm standing plow, and to you, and you said, no, I believe in the promise. So, you know, maybe he said, well, you know, my put him where I'm letting my brother up, you know, I was father by that. He said, I don't think I ever deserved his speaking, but I was with him. He knew that the dreams were not fun. Much good God, this thing. So, here, just a little child, and like despised, but he's a message and say, Joseph, he's your own brothers, and they were misbehaving. They weren't doing what the father wanted them to do. And he would go back, and the Bible said he would bring an evil report. In other words, he would tell his father, they're not listening. And then they hate him the more for that. And so one day his father said, I need you to go check on your brethren. And so there goes Joseph, happy as a lark. He's a type of Christ. You can't make this guy mad. You cannot make Joseph mad at you. Look in the Bible. Look at all it's done to Joseph. You can't make him mad. You want to make other people mad? When they despise you and they hate you and they reject you, just keep on smiling and whistling. Amen. Say, man, I tell you what, the joy of the Lord's my strength. Amen. It makes them mad as fire. So here he comes. He's whistling as the Bible doesn't say that. I'm just throwing that in there. Amen. But he's whistling as he walks over the hill. And they saw him a long ways off, the Bible said. And they said, here he comes. Behold, this dreamer. You ever had people look at you like that? I've had people in the cheese factory look at me like that before. Amen. I've had people in Baptist churches look at me like that before. Amen. Behold, this dreamer cometh. Who does it think he is? All of his dreams. Let's kill him. We're going to see what becomes of his dreams. Now remember, Joseph represents the promises of God in our lives. All right? The promises of God, his brethren, let me back up here, represent the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world would like nothing more than to destroy the promises of God that he's given you. The flesh would like nothing more than to say, those promises from that book don't apply to your life. Satan would love to just annihilate that book completely, take away those promises, but you and I have great and precious promises that are in that book that's written exactly to you and I from God. That Bible is not just a principle book that's written as a general guidebook to all Christians. That Bible is a promise book from God to you as an individual. Amen. And you are to read it as a promise book from God to you and apply it to you. Well, Joseph's applying his dream to himself. He's having a good time. And they hated him. And so they said, we're gonna see what becomes of his dreams. We're going to kill him. Take that coat away from him. All of Dad's labor, all of his love, all of his work and determination, his energy, his time, his effort, he's put into him. We're going to take it away, and we're going to kill him. And old Reuben got thinking about it, and Reuben said, nah, I'm the one that's kind of the head honcho. I'm the one that's got to go home and talk to Dad about it. And I can't go home and tell Dad we killed him. Let's put him in a pit over here. And so we'll think about what we're going to do. Let's put him in a pit. So they put him in the pit. And you can hear Joseph down there saying, come on, guys, you know, quit joking with me. Let me out of the pit now. And they're not joking. Now, I wonder what started going through Joseph's mind, you know, as he's down there in that pit. But I'm not preaching about Joseph, so we're preaching about Jacob, so let's get off of him. So anyhow, well, Reuben was gone, and they ended up selling him into slavery. You know the story. Reuben comes back. We just read it this morning. He realizes he's not there. He assumes the child's dead. He comes back. He said, I don't know where the child is. He's not. That's what he said. He said, he's not. He is not. I'm preaching on when your is not is. He said, "It's not." He said, "What am I going to do?" That was a statement of despair. As Reuben began to despair that Joseph is not. So the other brother, knowing full well what had taken place, they took his coat and they had another plot. And they said, "We didn't kill him. We sold him. But we'll take that coat that our father made for him." And they killed a goat kid. And they ripped the coat up a little bit. And they put blood all over the coat. That coat that his father had put time into and put energy into and put his love into and his effort for his son. He had made that coat for him. He had made that coat for the promise that God had given him. That was, man, the embodiment of his dreams was in that boy, was in that promise, and he had made that coat for him. And oh, listen, that boy, they took that coat and they ripped it up and they dipped it in blood and they ruined the coat. And they're coming back so they can tell Jacob, who had put his time and energy and love into that coat, his labor into that coat, and they come back and they said, "Man, we want you to see if this is your son's coat." Notice they did not say, "Joseph's dead." I'm going to tell you something this morning. Satan will not always come to you and say, "Your dreams are dead. The promises of God are null and void." But Satan will start to pull out the work that you've done for the Lord. He'll start to take that which you've labored for, the dream that God's given you. And Satan will try to take that dream, take that promise away. And he can't come back and say, "God's word's not true." He can't come back and say, "The promises of God are null and void." But he can hang a bloody coat in front of you. And that's exactly, and he can let you come to a wrong conclusion. And so they said, "See if that's your son's coat. Tell us if that's your son's coat." And Jacob, the Bible said, he looked at the coat. And I want you to see that. I want you to understand, when you look at this coat this morning, and I hope and pray to God you get a hold of this message, because there's some of you this morning that are looking at a bloody coat right now. And Satan's waving that in front of you, and that's all your flesh can see, and that's all your eyes can see. And I'm going to tell you, when Satan waves the bloody coat in front of you, when he takes your work and your labor and your love and your energy and your time and your effort, and he says, "It's wasted, it's in vain," it's so easy for you and I to be deceived. It's so easy for us to start walking by sight when we see what appears to be the obvious. We have the promises of God that are spiritual, but I've got a bloody coat in front of me that's all tore up, and that's pretty obvious. I mean, if I went out in the Bighorns last week or the Rockies one day, and I'd left, and I said, "I'm taking a hike," and we saw all kind of bears this last week, and if I didn't come home, but if that clothes was all tore up and bloody, they would say, "You know, we didn't see it, but we got the proof. Some wild beast devoured him." It was completely logical for Jacob to assume that his son was dead, except that Jacob had some promises that God had given him through his son that had not yet been fulfilled. But he's got a coat now that says he's dead. And so we see a statement of despair. Hey, listen, when they hung that coat in front of Jacob, Jacob saw a coat that had been beautiful, and now it's bloody. He saw a coat that had been full, and now that coat's empty. He saw a coat that had been perfect, and now it's ruined. He saw a coat that represented his work and his labor and his love for Joseph, and it's completely and totally destroyed. Reuben had already said the child is not. In verse 30, that was a statement of despair. The children, the boys, hung it in front of their dad and said, "This have happened, whether it be that coat or no." That's a statement of deceit. And then we find Jacob doing the same thing that so many Christians do to this day. "I've done it, you've done it, and we need to quit doing it." It's a statement of total defeat. And he knew it. That means he knew the coat. He knew that was his coat. He knew that's the coat he made for his son. And he said, "It is my son's coat. And evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent pieces." And the Bible said Jacob took off his clothes. He began to rend his clothes to pieces. And he said, "I'm going to go to my grave mourning the death of my son." He didn't have a dead boy in front of him. His dad was a buddy. But he incorrectly assumed that his son was dead. It's all obvious. Now I want you to go to this. How about this, if Ken, Jant, living by faith in the promises that God gave son to walk in by sight, and a dangerous path for a child of God. It's med toward what he see. He saw the obvious. That's how Satan works. Now, how about in front of you? He said, "It's my son's coat." Yes, that's my son's coat. Some of you looking at your family, it's my, I'd get a problem with your family. You said, "Man, this is no good. My family's ruined." Some of you want a problem and a ministry. "Man, I'm a failure. Man, I need that coat ruined. And all this I put into what I thought was God's purpose for my life and the promises of God for my life, they're null and void. My life has been wasted. I put my time into that coat, and I'll go to my grave in defeat, mourning the death of my dream, the death of my promise, what I thought God had for me. Listen, he states the obvious. He said, it's my son's coat. To come to an incorrect conclusion, he started him. He'd be streamed with obituary. He said Joseph was without doubt rent in pieces. You look at me. Here's the sad part this morning. He was once, to get out of this church, once he's out of the step to a life of defeat. For so many of God have stopped the path of faith, believing that Christ and I them blocked it up. And man, you trained your family. Look, all they messed up. Christian doesn't look at feet to put him to there. He says, I'll go to people in the grave defeated because of depression. They said, well, I want to ask you something. You direct word. It's just promise that you do have promise. And your view of promise is not. You've got a promise from God's word, but you want to give up. You want to stop promise on me. Some of that promise doesn't apply to my situation. At one time you believed it did. Now it means promise is dead. Out the message is God promises us to desire your more load. So you're around that dream, around that promise, around that vision. That's the promise that God gave me. And oh, I love being in the work of God. And there's the coat. And I'm making it for the promise. That's the embodiment of my dreams right there. And you say, I don't have it no more. All I have is a bloody coat there. Those promises of God must be null and void. They must not really apply to me. Don't tell me some of you old timers never been there. Amen. I know if you've been around the block a couple times, you've been there once or twice. Amen. And some of you hadn't been there, but you're going to be there one day. Listen to what I'm saying. How much have you invested in your Joseph? Some of you have taken time and money and blood, sweat, and tears to make a coat of many colors for the Joseph that God's given you. And now Satan is waving and the world's waving and your brothers and children are waving and your flesh is screaming out. There's a bloody coat. You failed. You're a failure. God's through with you. You've invested your all into the promises of God. You've given your life to make that coat of many colors for the promises God gave you. And it appears to have failed. And your being screams just like Jacob did. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And for the next 20 years, Jacob would say, Joseph is not. One is not. I have 12 children and one is not. Me have ye bereaved of my children. One is not. I've got you 10. Joseph is not. And he would say about another one, Simeon, he is not. He would for the next 20 years live in that discouragement and that depression. You're a failure. All Satan loves to wave bloody coats of empty church houses in front of preachers. He loves to wave the bloody coats of rebellious children in front of parents. He's a master of deceit. He's a father of lies. And you cannot let him. Here's the problem right here, folks. You better listen. You know what Satan wants you doing? He wants you looking at your coat and not looking at the promise. He wants you looking at that bloody coat and not looking at the Joseph who occupied that coat. And see, this is where we're so easily misled. We must look away from the bloody coat. Whatever that bloody coat is this morning, you must quit looking at your circumstance. You must quit looking at the waves like Peter did. You must quit looking at the fact that Jesus is dead like Thomas did. You must quit being doubtless because you're looking at a bloody coat. You've got to somewhere say, I don't care how bad it looks and how much of a failure it appears that I've been and how all my work and labor is gone, is down the drain. You must look away from your work and your labor and your love, and you must look to the one that you're working for and laboring for, the one who gave you the promises. Amen. It's not about me, and it's not about the coat I made, and it's not about my labor. It's about the Joseph that God's given me. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ ultimately. We must look away from the bloody coat, and we must by faith remember God gave me a dream. God gave me a promise. God gave Joseph a dream. I have not yet bowed down to him. That dream has not been fulfilled. It looks like he's dead, but Satan's a master of lies. The promises of God are in Jesus Christ. Yea and amen. Titus 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. Amen. We must make a choice to cast not away therefore our confidence without great recompense of reward. We come to our last point this morning, Jehovah's blessed care. And as we look at Jehovah's care, I want to give you 3 points here and I'll be wrapped up. The first thing I want you to notice is the providence of God, because Jehovah is going to take care of Joseph and he's going to take care of Jacob at the same time. If anybody could have been living disillusioned, defeated, and depressed, it should have been Joseph. He's the guy that was sold into slavery. But he's just down there whistling Dixie. He's got a good attitude. He gets put down in a dungeon, falsely accused. And what's he? And he becomes head down there. Everywhere he goes, he becomes the head because he has a good attitude, because he has a sweet spirit about him. Amen. Man, God just lifts him up. Amen. Wherever he is. Joseph goes for the next 20 years through a much harder time than Jacob went through. But Joseph, he went through it riding above the clouds. Even though he was under them, he was riding above them. Jacob, thinking about how he's lost his son and looking at that coat, he went through the next 20 years disillusioned and depressed and defeated. And I want to ask you, Christian, how are you going to live the next 20 years? How are you going to live? Shout out to you right now, man. I put all my work into the things of God and it's all been taken away from me. How are you going to live the next 20 years? Defeated? Depressed? Discouraged? I tell you what, it's just... Or are you going to be like Joseph? I don't understand what God's doing, but I can trust him. Amen. And I'm going to keep a good attitude. And I'm going to keep a smile on my face. I may not understand God. I don't have to understand God. God gave me some dreams, and I'll live to see them fulfilled. Amen. Let's draw off again. He said two men looked out of prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Where's your direction? Where's your sight? What are you looking at? Amen. Joseph kept his eyes on the promise of God. Jacob got his eyes on a bloody coat. Therein lies the difference. Well, we see the providence of God. There's Joseph being sold into slavery. There's Joseph being put into a dungeon. There's Joseph interpreting a dream in that dungeon. There's Joseph being called up to Pharaoh to interpret a dream for him. There's Joseph being made the vice Pharaoh of the land. And Jacob has no idea. Jacob's still down there mourning. God took my dream away. It's dead. I've got the bloody coat. Probably has it on his mantle so he can look at it and get depressed every day. That's how us Christians are. Man, I'm telling you. We take and we kick ourselves and beat ourselves. Oh, I failed. Quit looking at yourself. Look to the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen. And there's Jacob. And for both of them, Joseph and Jacob, things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get better. For Joseph, it's down, down, down. For Jacob, he's going to run out of food. They're going to get into famine. But you've got to see, folks, this is what the Christian has to believe ultimately. You have got to see the invisible hand of God working and moving. That's what faith does. Faith sees the invisible as visible. You've got to see, you've got to believe that the promises of God are yea and amen. You've got to be able to look and understand that though I can't see what God's doing, though I don't understand what God's doing, I can trust what God's doing because he's God. Though he slay me, Job said, yeah, well, I trust him. You've got to keep that kind of trust in God. That's faith. You've got to. So there he is. God brings him into a famine. What's God doing? God's orchestrating events. God's making things get a whole lot worse for Jacob, because if they hadn't got a whole lot worse for Jacob, he'd have never went down to Egypt. And there would never been a reunion. And the promises of God would have never been realized. Boy, you ought to get a hold of this right here, man. I don't care how faithless you are. Some of you may walk out of here. You may be more depressed when you leave than when you got here. You may say, I tell you, all that preacher did this morning, I can't think about the promises. All I can think about is the bloody coat. You know what? You can be faithless this morning, but God's faithful. He can't deny himself. And that's the lesson we learned with Jacob. Though for 20 years he lived in defeat and doubt and despair and depression, looking at a bloody coat, God's promises, man, it makes me excited. God's promises were still good, amen. Because God cannot deny himself. Faithless though we be, God has to fulfill his promises he's given to us, amen. He's not an Indian giver. He ain't going to take them back, amen. Amen. I hope you don't walk out of here thinking, well, Pastor Ruttman said if you had faith, God will fulfill his promises. I'm saying God will fulfill his promises whether you have faith or not. You can either ride on the journey defeated, or you can take the journey, amen, just trusting God, amen, and have a good attitude about it. Either way, God's promises are going to be fulfilled, amen. They are. And he's a good God, amen. And so he takes care of him. I believe in the providence of God. I said several years ago, we had a service out at my farm. I think that was when we had Jeff's 50th birthday party. Amen. And so I don't know how many years ago that was. That's 3 or 4 years ago. That's probably 10, 15 years ago. Amen. But I preached a message out there, and I made a statement in that message. I preached out of John chapter 11. And I made a statement in that message that if I didn't believe in the providence of God, I'd be in the insane asylum right now. And that's a fact. I would. Especially at that time of my life. Man, things was crazy. I'd be in the insane asylum. But I do believe in the providence of God. I do believe the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. I do believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. I do believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us hereafter. I may not understand the path I take. I don't have to. I believe the one that I'm going towards. Amen. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he that's begun a good work in you shall perform it. He'll finish it. Amen. I do believe in him. Amen. So we're going to get on through. I believe in the providence of God. Well, we not only see the providence of God, but we see the promise of God fulfilled. And the promise of God was fulfilled. I ain't going through the whole story, don't have time to. But his brethren ended up down there. He reveals himself to his brethren. They come back and they told their dad, look in Genesis chapter number 45. And pray that this Energizer Bunny just goes a little longer. Amen. All right. So I can finish the message. And they went up out of Egypt. Genesis 45, verse 25 and 26. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, notice the next two words, Joseph is. For 20 years, they've been saying, Joseph is not. One is not. Now they say, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And the Bible said Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Before I comment on the promises of God being fulfilled, I must say, isn't it amazing how we react?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how we react? He had the promise of God to start with. The bloody coats waved, he walks by sight. Now his boys are back there saying, hey, he's alive. Even sight is telling him the promises of God. There does come a time in our life when our faith is made sight. And his sight is now saying the promises of God are alive. And he still doesn't want to believe. Isn't that how we are? We pray for Peter all night to get out of prison. When he shows up at the door, we say, that ain't Peter, that's his ghost. We pray for God to take care of our needs. And when it shows up in the mailbox, we say, that must have been a mistake. Amen. I mean, goodness, that's how we do. I did something like that. Just I ain't going to tell you about it. But I just tell you this much. I did it about a week and a half ago. I said, that can't be, man. God, that can't be. And it was. God working and moving. Amen. Oh, listen. Now when they tell him Joseph's alive, human senses still cry out, he's dead. He's dead. He's dead. We're so faltering in our faith at times. But the point again is that even when we falter in our faith, God is faithful to his promises. He cannot lie. No, they say, Joseph's alive. Joseph is alive. Father, we got to go to Egypt. Joseph is yet alive. Joseph is alive. God's promises are true after all. He's the governor. We've already bowed down to him. God's promises are true. Dad, get rid of the bloody coat. Man, get rid of it. He's alive. That bloody coat, man, we cooked that up years ago. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Well, I'm telling you, God's good to us. You keep on trusting. You can be defeated if you want to. You can put a smile on your face and say, I'm going to trust God. But I promise you, in time, God's going to come and say, it's alive. My promises are alive. I didn't give you a promise that I won't fulfill because I'm God and I cannot lie. I'm immutable. I cannot tell you something and it not be so. That's good. All things still work together for good. You can count on the promises of God. My God shall still supply all your needs. And he's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. His word still accomplishes what he sets it to do, in spite of the fact that sometimes we get done preaching and we think, nothing happened, amen? God's word never goes forth empty-handed. It always comes back with exactly what God wanted it to do, amen? His word still, preaching the word, praying in faith and persevering in the work of God still pays in this life and in the world to come. And the best is yet to come for the child of God. I don't care how bloody the coat looks and how empty and how tore up it looks. The best is still yet to come for the child of God. We're still on the winning side and God's still good at the end of the day. Amen. And we see not only the providence of God, the promise of God, we see the pity of God in his tender rebuke of Jacob. Turn to Genesis chapter 46 real quickly. Genesis chapter number 46. The providence of God, the promise of God, the pity of God and his tender rebuke. Jacob had already been punished for lack of faith. You see, sometimes we're waiting for God to do something big to punish somebody. They're already walking in punishment. Just defeat, disillusionment, despair, and depression's punishment. You live like that for 20 years. See what kind of person you are after 20 years. That was enough punishment. But here's what God said. God told Jacob when he was looking at going down to Egypt to be reunited with his son, God, because God had told him before not to go to Egypt. So now God gives permission. God says, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. Notice this next phrase, because I missed this phrase for years. Please get this phrase. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, I'm going to tell you, you need to get a hold of that phrase right there. For the man who had walked by sight instead of believing the promises of God, God had mercy on him. His mourning and grief were enough of a punishment, and so God would simply have Joseph put his hand upon Jacob's eyes and cause God's faithfulness to trump his faithlessness. When Joseph showed up, that empty coat had said for 20 years, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. And for 20 years, Jacob had been walking around looking at everything through an empty coat. And that's how some of you Christians do. That's how some of us do. Everything in life, we're looking at through the empty coat, through the bloody coat. We're walking through life depressed, defeated. And God said, look, my promises are good. God's faithful, and God said, when you get down there, it's love, it's mercy, but it's a tender rebuke. He said, that one that you refused to believe because your eyes were leading you astray, I'm going to put his hand right over your eyes, and my faithfulness is going to trump your faithlessness. That's God. Amen. God's a good God this morning. God is so good to us. We can bless his name. Jacob could have went to his grave mourning, but God let him see a son because God's promises are true. Let me conclude this morning by saying, you can live in defeat and despair and discouragement as you look at a bloody coat that you invested into your Joseph, or you can live trusting and believing the God of all promises and the promises of our God, that even though that bloody coat looks real, the promises of God can be trusted, and there's going to come a day when your is not is. There's going to come a day when what you've said and what Satan said and what your flesh and the world have cried out, it's not true. It's not true. They're no good. They don't apply to you. One day you'll hold those treasures, that dream, that promise in your hands, and you'll say, my is not is, and God is true. Amen. There's coming a day when your Joseph will be recognized and realized. Satan may wave that bloody coat saying, Joseph's dead. Things may get worse before they get better. But I can tell you by faith that Joseph's yet alive, and God will turn it around for you. You've heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord. That's what Jacob got to see, the end of the Lord. How he's merciful. He's pitiful towards his people. Amen. God's good. Think about this. I don't have time to preach this. I'll just give this to you real quickly. When Jacob got down into Egypt and he saw Joseph, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said his spirit was revived. When your is not becomes your is, there'll be revival in your heart. Amen. Even though he was faithless, God revived him. We Christians act like revival hinges all on us. No, revival hinges on the promises of God. Amen. Amen. And even though he was faithless, God's promises were good. The Bible said the spirit was revived. Consider this. Not only was the spirit revived, every need that he had from there on, for himself and for his entire family, a huge family. If you don't think 12 kids is a lot of kids, I'm going to tell you, 9 out of my in-laws, 11, went on vacation this week with us. There was a pile of people everywhere we went. We showed up to ride horses. I'm telling you what, I thought they was going to run out of horses. Kids and grandkids, 12 kids, a bunch of people. They got 12 boys and they got all their kids and all their kids. Joseph, when Jacob realized he was alive, Joseph was the answer for feeding his family through the famine. There's revival, there's refreshment when you realize your is not is. Why don't you just trust God that it is? It'd be a whole lot better for the next 20 years than walking around in defeat and discouragement. Oh, listen, not only was there revival and refreshment, this is the hardest thing right here for a Baptist preacher. Brother Older, this is the hardest thing for us preachers to get right here. We believe that everything's right or wrong. Is that correct? Amen, brother? It's black or white. Is that correct? It's black or white. There is no gray. It's black or white. That's how we believe, because that's what the Bible says. So when somebody does wrong, that's black. This Bible's white. You're out of here. We Christians, fundamentalists, we view things through that prism. Man, when someone does wrong, when someone causes division, when someone causes a strife in the church, what do? If they don't get right, we put them out. And then you know what we believe? We walk around for the next 20 years looking through that bloody coat and saying, I'll tell you right now, they hated me. They tried to cause me problems in the church. They did this, they did that. It's not fair. When God made Jacob realize that Joseph was yet alive, Jacob's spirit is revived, his family is refreshed. Jacob died, but his boys lived. And when his boys lived, they realized, we got a problem. Because dad's no longer alive, and we're the ones that put him in the pit and sold him into slavery. We're the one that killed that goat kid and put blood on that coat. And Joseph's been waiting for this moment, and Joseph is going to kill us. And so they more than likely fabricated another story. That's what it looks like to me when I read it. Maybe they did. I got a hunch they did. They came, they sent a message to Joseph, and they said, oh, Joseph, we had a meeting with Dad. Read it yourself. I'm ad-libbing. We had a meeting with Dad before he died, and he said that we did really bad to you, and we shouldn't have done it. We're sorry for it, but Dad said that you're not supposed to hurt us. You read it. That's what he said. You're not supposed to hurt us. You're not supposed to kill us. You know what Joseph said? We need to get a hold of this, especially as preachers, so we can lead our flocks. Joseph said, You meant it for evil, but God allowed it for good. And I harbor no ill feeling, no ill will, and no bitterness towards you. There's not only revival and refreshment, there's reconciliation. When your is not becomes your is, when God gives you your dreams, when God puts Joseph back in the coat for you, so to speak, don't harbor bitterness towards those that took your Joseph away. You love them and allow God to reconcile them. And God can do it just because he's God and just because he can. Let's pray. Lord, take now this message, work it